نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I recited before you the 14th verse of Surah Iqra. Surah Iqra is a chapter in the 30th juz of the Qur'an-i Kareem. The first five verses were the first revelation upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave of Hira. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left his home, he left his environment that was infested. It was saturated with every form of evil. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to go to a cave of Hira and make the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And whilst being there, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent wahi, sent revelation to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is when the first five verses of Surah Iqra were revealed upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The remaining verses of Surah Iqra was revealed on another instance. In Bukhari Sharif there is a narration, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the beginning stages of da'wah, when he proclaimed nubuwat, invited the people towards oneness and tawheed of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the entire environment, the people were against him. It was during that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Haram Sharif, to the Kaaba Sharif, and he went to perform salah. Abu Jahl and many enemies of Islam were there. They observed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salat in the Kaaba, around the Kaaba. This is something they could not stand. Different religion, different way of worship, different from worshipping the idols. This is something they could not bear, they could not stand. And instead of entering into a dialogue, they went on an offensive. So Abu Jahl, he told to someone that who will go and collect the intestines of a certain animal, of a camel? And when Muhammad is on the ground, referring to when he's in the sajda, he would place it on the back of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So another enemy of Islam, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, he went and he brought the intestines of a camel. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in sajda, he placed the intestines of the camel on the back of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The intestines of the camel is something that's heavy and full of dirt and impurity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in sajda and that was placed on his back. And when this happened, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was finding it difficult to come up from sajda. The enemies of Islam, Abu Jahl, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, all the people that were there, for them, it was a case of laughing and joking and mockery. Abdullah ibn, in the Bukhari, in the narration of Bukhari, Sharif, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was there. But he couldn't do anything. More so because he was not a Quraysh. Shortly thereafter, the daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadha Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came up. Somebody informed her that this is what has happened to your beloved father. So Fatima radiallahu ta'ala came up. She observed the cruelty, the injustice, the oppression done to her father, she immediately goes and she removes the intestines from the back of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes up from sajda, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Allah punished the Quraysh. This Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do because of his personal reason. The sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when anybody hurt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never avenged for his personal reasons. In Bukhari Sharif, in the chapter of Maghadi, the incident they mention about a Jewish woman. She heard that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likes the forearm of an animal. She prepared it and she filled it with deadly poison and presented it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just tasted it. The effect of it was right till before the death of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then somebody told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that afala qataltaha, why don't you kill her? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused. From this we understand Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never avenged anyone for personal reasons. In this case, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the Quraysh because they violated the haqq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is a house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It's a Kaaba Sharif. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has a haqq to be worshipped, to be glorified. And the enemies of Islam are stopping Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from worshipping Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It was a violation of the haqq and the right of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Allah punished them. And the effect of it was in the Battle of Badr. All the people that were there, they were then killed in the Battle of Badr. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to this incident that kalla innal insana layatagha arra'ahu staghna inna ila rabbika ruj'a. What do man think? He rebels against Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala because he's independent. Sometimes, when a person is dependent, you are in need, there's a state of helplessness in you, you don't want to rebel, that's the time you're turning more towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But when a person is independent, Allah bless him with wealth, Allah bless him with respect, with dignity, honor, when it's human nature, you tend to rebel at that time and point. Then Allah reminds, inna ila rabbika ruj'a. How much we gonna rebel? How much we gonna turn against Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Does a man know that the time is going to come, he's gonna return to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? That consciousness of turning to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, death, life after death, hisab, accountability in the court of Allah, that consciousness being a person can never feel at ease. He won't do anything wrong. And then Allah says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does man not know that Allah is seeing? Although this incident was referring to Abu Jahl and all the enemies of Islam, but it could also apply to you and I. Leave aside that incident that took place with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this is a direct address to you and I. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Do we not know that Allah is watching us? That consciousness, sometimes you are behind the computer screen, privately in your bedroom, you could just be pressing on any button and any evil, immoral thing coming there. Enjoying that sight, that pornographic sight. Or sometimes you probably could be even walking with your wife, you could be walking with your friend, and with the corner of your eye, you're throwing a lustful glance on the woman. Your wife may not know. Nobody in the house would know. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does man not know that Allah is seeing? And the stronger this consciousness is in the person, the more the person will abstain from guna and sins. This is self-discipline. You don't need anybody to come and stop you from guna and sins. You yourself need to have the realization that Allah is seeing. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what you are watching from the corner of your eye. And Allah knows what is you hidden in your heart. It is a self-discipline. And when a person has this consciousness in him, when he commits a guna, when he commits a sin, or he does anything wrong, because of that consciousness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the person should feel absolutely horrible. Uneasy. You just don't feel right. That consciousness must be in that individual. And this is something we must create all the time. And that is why our akabirs, our pious elders, they taught us one way of making our islah, changing ourselves, is sit in one corner, make muraqabah of this verse. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Before intending to commit any sin, remind yourself of this verse. Do you not know that Allah is saying, how can I commit that sin? How can I watch evil? How can I look at such immoral pictures? Will I see it in the presence of my father? Will I see it in the presence of my mother? Will I see it in the presence of my wife? They can't tolerate, I can't tolerate them seeing me. How can I tolerate they're committing a sin while Allah is watching me? That consciousness must be within us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, Mal ihsan. What is ihsan? Loosely translated as ikhlas, or it could also be translated as Allah consciousness. So how do you attain the darja of Allah consciousness? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned, An ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara. You worship Allah as though you can see Allah. This is called mushahada. It's a position where you are completely conscious and as though you can see Allah. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And if you cannot bring yourself to that point where you think you can see Allah, have yaqeen and conviction that indeed Allah is seeing you. And this is called muraqabah. And this is the thing we should be conscious all the time, every step of our life. The consciousness of Allah watching us is like the blood flowing in our body. The more the blood is there, there's life. The blood dries up, we are dead. Consciousness of Allah within us, our spirituality is alive. And that consciousness of Allah comes out of us, our spirituality is dead. And that is the important thing to bring in our lives. One person, he came to Dr. Abdul Haysab. And he told to Dr. Abdul Haysab that I've got some good news to give you. So Dr. Abdul Haysab told him, he was a sheikh of Hadha Mufti Taqi Osmani Sahab, of Hadha Mufti Rafi Osmani Sahab, Maddazil Luhuma. So the person came and told to Dr. Abdul Haysab, they've got some good news for you. So Dr. Abdul Haysab told him, we all look forward for good news. What's the good news? He says, when I perform my salah, then I've reached the darja of ihsan. When I perform my salat, then I feel that I'm looking at Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. For sure, Allah is looking at me. I've reached that stage already. So Dr. Abdul Haysab told him, mashallah, very, very good. But let me ask you this question, that when you're at home dealing with your wife, when you're at home dealing with your children, when in your community dealing with your friends and your associates, are you also conscious of the fact that Allah is watching you? This darja of ihsan is not only in the masjid. It's in our 24-hour life. All the time, be conscious that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is watching. And the more straight, the more conscious a person is, the more straight, the more upright the person will be in every step of our life. And that is why the exercise of muraqabah, where you sit few minutes in the morning, few minutes in the day, few minutes in the evening, and remind yourself, Allah is seeing, Allah is seeing, Allah is seeing. How can then we ever commit sins when we know that Allah is seeing and we're violating the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? In conclusion, probably the incident of Abdullah ibn Umar will be thought provoking for us and a reminder for us. He was traveling somewhere. He came across a shepherd. It's midday. It's very, very hot. So, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu got talking to him. And he found out that this person is fasting. First he's a shepherd. It's hot outside grazing the sheep. And a person, simple person like a shepherd is fasting. Anyway, he thought, got speaking to him more and told to him, can you give me one sheep? The person told, I can't give you the sheep. It doesn't belong to me. So Abdullah ibn Umar told him, whoever he belongs to, if you give it to me, what that person will know? Your master won't even know that you have given me a sheep. So just give it to me. I will benefit, you will benefit. I'll give you something. So that shepherd made a thought-provoking statement and he told to Abdullah ibn Umar, if my master is not seeing me, Ain Allah. Where is Allah? Allah is watching. Abdullah ibn Umar was so happy with this answer. He went to the master of the slave, purchased the slave, purchased the entire flock of sheep, and gave the entire flock of sheep to a person and freed that person. But this is something we should bring in our lives, that Allah consciousness, every way how we deal with our mothers, Allah consciousness. How am I going to answer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, how I'm talking to my mother? How I'm talking to my father? As parents, how are we dealing with our children? As a teacher to my students, student to the teacher, Allah conscious in everything, the responsibility. And the more you are conscious of Allah, the more straight, the more you upright you will be. And that's why ulama mentioned that in the beginning of the day, for the entire day, there's four steps we must take for our islah and reformation. In the beginning of the day, make mu'ada, a promise with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We know our weaknesses, we know our shortcomings. And we say, oh Allah, I've got this weakness, I've got that weakness. I promise I'll never commit that sin today. Firm resolution. And the stronger the resolution, the more sincere the person will be, the more the person will achieve its aim and objective of reformation. Reformation doesn't just come by reformation. Reformation doesn't come just by taking bay'at. Nowadays people just take bay'at for the sake of barakah. That's not the purpose of bay'at. The purpose of bay'at is reformation. Otherwise, barakah, you get barakah by reading the Quran. Barakah, you come in a masjid. But the purpose of bay'at is supposed to be reformation, not just barakah. So you say somebody, no, I'm bay'at to so-and-so person. You bay'at to so-and-so person, but how much islah is made? That's the important part. So first parting, make a mu'a'ada, promise with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, I won't commit this sin. And as they go on, now, you need to make muraqabah. Watch yourself. Am I going to be committing the wrong? I made a promise with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, I'm not supposed to be doing the wrong. And at the end of the day, make muhasabah. Take an account of yourself before sleeping. In the beginning of the day, I made a promise with Allah, I won't throw a lustful glance at a woman. Did I do it? I won't speak a lie. Did I speak a lie? I won't cheat anyone. Did I cheat anyone? I will not look at a pornographic site or any evil on the screen. Did I do that or not? Make muhasaba. And if you think that you maintain the promise, make shukar, be steadfast. And if you violated that, fourth step, mu'aqaba. Punish yourself. Do something, some kind of punishment that serves as a real deterrent for yourself and to be able to change your life. And sometimes undertake, you'll perform 10 rakat nafil, 8 rakat nafil, or some hefty monetary punishment upon yourself. Not a small amount that justifies you committing that guna again. Must be something hefty where it becomes difficult upon yourself. And in this way, this is one way where a person can change his life. And that is if it's possible for you to maintain this. Otherwise, just as if a person is physically ill, you go to a doctor. If you're not well, you probably will take a Panado for a day or two. You'll try to correct, you'll try to cure your own self. But if you're unable to cure yourself persistently, you're getting that headache, now he's giving an alarm bell, something seriously wrong. Now you'll go to a doctor. Doctor will check you up. He say, no, you know, I think you should go for a scan. I think you should do this, I should do that. And now that person have anxiety. I don't know what's going to be the end result, what the scan will show, what will happen. And then if the person is told, you know, you got cancer, then immediately the person think about when he can draw up his will. The same with us. We are unable to cure ourselves, then get the assistance of a person that's a spiritual guide, who you have trust in, you have confidence, with who you have munasabat also. Not just take bath, but have with who you have munasabat, with who you have your relationship. You can talk to a person, you can confide in a person. You want to achieve your maqsad of getting closer to Allah. You want to cleanse and purify yourself. then you hand yourself over to someone, and then it's just like, you know how a dead person, ghusl is given to him, you hand yourself over to a person, just like that, for him to give ghusl of the dirt, and cleanse you, and make you closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah grant us all tawfiq and hidayat, to create that Allah consciousness in us. How can we live a life of enjoyment, comfort, whilst we committing guna and sin, knowing for the fact that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who is our mun'im, so much of ni'mat, so much of bounties, and yet we violate the laws of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.